They'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Together again, this is the LifeSpring 1-Year Bible coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004. I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This is the Law Monday, and we'll read Leviticus 16 through 18. The title of today's episode is Go and Sin No More. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for telling us who you are and why we need you in its pages. I pray, Lord, today that as we read, you would touch our hearts and our minds. Bless us as we read. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get started.
Leviticus 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, when they approached the presence of the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother that he must not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil canopy in front of the atonement plate that is on the ark, so that he may not die, for I will appear in the cloud over the atonement plate. In this way Aaron is to enter into the sanctuary, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He must put on a holy linen tunic. Linen leggings are to cover his body, and he is to wrap himself with a linen sash and wrap his head with a linen turban. They are holy garments, so he must bathe his body in water and put them on. He must also take two male goats from the congregation of the Israelites for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron is to present the sin offering bull which is for himself, and is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He must then take the two goats and stand before them, before the Lord, at the entrance of the meeting tent. And Aaron is to cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and one lot for Azazel. Aaron must then present the goat which has been designated by lot for the Lord, and he is to make it a sin offering. But the goat which has been designated by lot for Azazel is to be stood alive before the Lord to make atonement on it by sending it away to Azazel and to the wilderness. Aaron is to present the sin offering bull which is for himself, and he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and his household. He is to slaughter the sin offering bull which is for himself, and take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and a full double handful of finely ground fragrant incense, and bring them inside the veil canopy. He must then put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of incense will cover the atonement plate which is above the ark of the testimony, so that he will not die. Then he is to take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the eastern face of the atonement plate, and in front of the atonement plate he is to sprinkle some of the blood 7 times with his finger. He must then slaughter the sin offering goat which is for the people. He is to bring its blood inside the veil canopy, and he is to do with its blood just as he did to the blood of the bull. He is to sprinkle it on the atonement plate and in front of the atonement plate. So he is to make atonement for the holy place from the impurities of the Israelites and from their transgressions with regard to all their sins. And thus he is to do for the meeting tent, which resides with them in the midst of their impurities. Nobody is to be in the meeting tent when he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he goes out and he has made atonement on his behalf, on behalf of his household, and on behalf of the whole assembly of Israel. Then he is to go out to the altar which is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He is to take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it all around on the horns of the altar. Then he is to sprinkle on it some of the blood with his finger 7 times, and cleanse and consecrate it from the impurities of the Israelites. When he has finished purifying the holy place, the meeting tent, and the altar, he is to present the live goat. Aaron is to lay his 2 hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the Israelites and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he is to put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man standing ready. The goat is to bear on itself all their iniquities into an inaccessible land. So he is to send the goat away in the wilderness.
Aaron must then enter the meeting tent and take off the linen garments which he had put on when he entered the sanctuary, and leave them there. Then he must bathe his body in water in a holy place, put on his clothes, and go out and make his burnt offering and the people's burnt offering. So he is to make atonement on behalf of himself and the people. Then he is to offer up the fat of the sin offering in smoke on the altar. And the one who sent the goat away to Azazel must wash his clothes, bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. The bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought to make atonement in the holy place, must be brought outside the camp, and their hide, their flesh, and their dung must be burned up. And the one who burns them must wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may re-enter the camp. This is to be a perpetual statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you must humble yourselves and do no work of any kind, both the native citizen and the foreigner who resides in your midst. For on this day, atonement is to be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You must be clean before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest for you, and you must humble yourselves. It is a perpetual statute. The priest who is anointed and ordained to act as high priest in place of his father is to make atonement. He is to put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and he is to purify the most holy place. He is to purify the meeting tent and the altar, and he is to make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This is to be a perpetual statute for you to make atonement for the Israelites for all their sins once a year. So he did just as the Lord had commanded Moses.
Leviticus chapter 17. The Lord spoke to Moses. Tell Aaron, his sons, and all the Israelites that this is what the Lord has commanded. Any Israelite who slaughters a bull, sheep, or goat inside or outside the camp is guilty of bloodshed. He has shed blood and must be excluded from the people. Bring the animal to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Offer it to the Lord in front of the Lord's tent. This means that the people of Israel must take the sacrifices they have been making in the open fields and bring them to the Lord. They must bring them to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The people will sacrifice them as fellowship offerings to the Lord. The priest will pour the blood against the Lord's altar at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He will burn the fat as a soothing aroma to the Lord. The people must stop sacrificing to goat idols and chasing after them as though they were prostitutes. This is a permanent law for the people and for future generations. Tell them, if Israelites or foreigners make burnt offerings or sacrifices, but do not bring them to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer them to the Lord, they must be excluded from the people. If Israelites or foreigners eat any blood, I will condemn them and exclude them from the people, because blood contains life. I have given this blood to you to make peace with me on the altar. Blood is needed to make peace with me. That is why I have said to the people of Israel, neither you nor foreigners should ever eat blood. If Israelites or foreigners hunt any animal or bird that may be eaten, they must pour out the animal's blood and cover it with dirt. This is because the life of any creature is in its blood. So I have said to the people of Israel, never eat any blood, because the life of any creature is in its blood. Whoever eats blood must be excluded from the people. Native Israelites or foreigners who eat the body of an animal that dies naturally or is killed by another animal must wash their clothes and their bodies. They will be unclean until evening. Then they will be clean. If they don't wash their clothes and their bodies, they will be guilty of sin.
Leviticus chapter 18. The Lord spoke to Moses. Tell the Israelites, I am the Lord your God. You used to live in Egypt. Don't live the way the Egyptians do. I am bringing you to Canaan. Don't live the way the Canaanites do. Never live by their standards. Follow my rules and live by my standards. I am the Lord your God. Live by my standards and obey my rules. You will have life through them. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with anyone related to you by blood. I am the Lord. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother. She is your own mother. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepmother. She is related to you through your father. Never have sexual intercourse with your stepsister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter. It makes no difference whether or not she was born in your house. Never have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter, whether she is your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, because she is related to you. Never have sexual intercourse with the daughter of your father and his wife. She is your own sister. Never have sexual intercourse with your father's sister. She is your paternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your mother's sister. She is your maternal aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with the wife of your father's brother. She, too, is your aunt. Never have sexual intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with your sister-in-law. She is your brother's wife. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her granddaughter. They are related. Doing this is perverted. While your wife is living, never marry her sister as a rival wife and have sexual intercourse with her. Never have sexual intercourse with a woman while she is unclean during her monthly period. Never have sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife and become unclean with her. Never give your children as sacrifices to the god Molech by burning them alive. If you do, you are dishonoring the name of your God. I am your God. Never have sexual intercourse with a man as with a woman. It is disgusting. Never have sexual intercourse with any animal and become unclean with it. A woman must never offer herself to an animal for sexual intercourse. It is unnatural. Do not become unclean in any of these ways. By these practices, all the nations which I am forcing out of your way have become unclean. The land has become unclean. I will punish it for its sins. The land will vomit out those who live in it. Live by my standards and obey my rules. Neither you nor any foreigner should ever do any of these disgusting things. The people of the land who were there before you did all these disgusting things. As a result, the land has become unclean. If you make the land unclean, it will vomit you out as it has vomited out the people who were there before you. Whoever does any of these disgusting things must be excluded from the people. So you must follow my instructions. Don't live by the standards of the people who lived there before you. What they do is disgusting. Never become unclean that way. I am the Lord your God.
Okay, here we go. Let's talk about Leviticus 18. I've talked about this subject on the show before, and I'll identify what the subject is in a moment. And there's always a drop in the number of downloads of the show after I have this discussion. Some people decide that they just no longer want to listen. They disagree with me. And I don't mind if they disagree with me, but in disagreeing with the clear teaching of Scripture, they're disagreeing with God, and that makes me sad. As long as I'm talking about love and light, they like what they hear, but when the teaching from God's Word gets hard, they don't want to hear it. Please don't turn away from God. His teaching is for our ultimate good. It's not to take away our fun, it's for our benefit, whether we understand it or not. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, a young pastor, said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Well, beloved, it sounds to me like this is the day we live in now. Some people believe that truth is hate, and nothing could be further from the truth. And by the way, this is one of the reasons, the main reasons, I don't take advertisers on the show and why I'm not interested in having the show on any of the podcast networks. What I'm about to say would get me canceled. But my job, as well as anyone who teaches the Word of God, is to accurately reflect what I believe is the clear teaching of the Bible, regardless of the current culture, or even my own thoughts. The Bible is my plumb line. It's my source of truth. And in case you're not familiar with what a plumb line is, it's used to show what is absolutely vertical. It's usually a string with a weight tied on one end. Years ago, I used to be in construction, and when building a wall, you generally want to build it vertically straight and true. One of the tools you can use to show if the wall is straight is a plumb line. You hold onto the string with the weight, or plumb, hanging down, and you hold the line up next to but not quite touching the wall. The string should be the same distance from the wall all the way from the top to the bottom. If it isn't, then your wall isn't exactly vertical. So then you make adjustments if your goal is to make a vertical wall. Make sense? I hope so. The plumb line is an absolute standard of what is straight and true, and so is the Bible. What the Bible says is the truth. If there's any variation from the standard, then adjustments must be made if your goal is to adhere to the standard. As believers, that ought to be our goal. If that isn't your goal, then you have to have a conversation with yourself. You have to decide if you truly are a believer in Jesus, because he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He said that in John 14, verse 15. So, what subject am I talking about? Yeah, in verse 22 of Leviticus 18, the plumb line says, "Don't have sex with a man as one does with a woman. That is disgusting." The translation I'm using today is the God's Word translation, and it says disgusting there. Other translations use abomination or detestable or abhorrent. Now, I know that more and more homosexuality is accepted as a lifestyle in today's culture, but today's text, and many others, by the way, tell us that God doesn't accept it. Billy Graham was once asked if he really believed that only Christians would get to heaven. Did he really believe that Jews or Muslims or Buddhists and people who had lived good lives would not be allowed into heaven? His response was this, and I'm probably paraphrasing, but this is what he said to the best of my recollection. He said, "It doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Bible says. If you don't agree, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God." Now, I know some homosexual people. Several, as a matter of fact. I'm friendly with them, and I don't hate them, and I'm certainly not afraid of them. You know, that's what phobic means, right? To have a phobia about something is to be afraid of it. I'm not homophobic. Most of the homosexuals I know are decent people, but as long as they participate in this behavior, they're out of God's will. But listen very, very carefully. Homosexuality is not worse than adultery. It isn't worse than theft. It isn't worse than gossiping. It isn't worse than cheating on your taxes. It is a sin, and all sin separates us from God. And all sin is forgivable but one, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But do you remember what Jesus said when he forgave the woman caught in the act of adultery? He said, "Go and sin no more." You can't be born again if you don't repent or turn from your sin. Yes, we all sin, even after being born again. But if you know what sin is and refuse to turn away from it, then you have to question your salvation. Did you really submit to the Lordship of Jesus? He is more than just our Savior. He's our Lord as well. What does Lord mean? It means King, ruler, head honcho, if you will. And again, let me reiterate that this is true of any sin, not just homosexuality. Also, and listen close, let me say that holding this belief about the correctness of this verse in Leviticus does not license anyone to mistreat homosexual people in any way. Our model is Jesus, right? The only people he was ever cross with were the religious hypocrites. He never mistreated those sinners who came to him humbly. He treated them with love and respect. He didn't condone their behavior. He didn't accept their behavior, but he did not mistreat them. He told them that they should stop their sinful behavior, but notice that he didn't lead with that. In other words, he first ministered to them, and then he told them to go and sin no more, to stop sinning. He didn't stand on a street corner with a hateful sign. That's not the way he changed hearts and minds, so I'm sure that's not what he would have us do either. So, there you have it. When it comes to God's Word, I have to tell you the way I see it. I won't sugarcoat it. I won't compromise. I won't leave it out. I believe every word. And since God doesn't change, I'm quite sure His word doesn't change either. If we try to change it, we do so at our peril. Now please hear me. I really think it's a shame that so much is made of this particular issue, because so much of the Bible tells us how much God loves us, how unwilling He is that any should perish, and how much He did to make it possible for anyone who will to have fellowship with Him. But the pride of mankind makes it so difficult for some people to submit to God's lordship. If only they'd realize that being in His will is infinitely better than being out of His will. I know, because I've spent periods in my life where I was soundly in violation of His will, as many of you probably have. It's not a fun place to be long term, is it? Most definitely not. But when I'm living according to what I know to be right, according to the plumb line of God's word, then there's a joy and a peace and an everything is all right with the world assuredness that can't be taken away. Sure, chaos and troubles continue to whirl around me, and sometimes they even affect my mood, but in my core, in my inner self, God's peace abides. I would love to hear your comments. If you disagree with me and would like to have a discussion, I'm open to that, as long as the conversation is respectful. So let me hear from you. Call the LifeSpring Family Hotline at +1-951-732-8511 or go to comment.lifespringmedia.com or send a boostagram with your comment. Tomorrow will be History Tuesday, and our reading will be 2 Kings 11 through 15. Had a great time at this past Saturday's No Agenda meetup here in Riverside. Leo Bravo was the organizer, and this was his 40th meetup. He's from the L.A. area, Los Angeles, but he moves the meetups around to lots of different areas, most of which are 1 or 2 hours away from Riverside. So a couple of months ago, I asked him if he would do one out here, and he graciously agreed. This was my second meetup, and the only slight glitch with Saturday's meetup, and yes, I used that word, was that we chose a really crowded venue. Heroes is a popular spot, and we waited at least 40 minutes for a table. Leo will have to figure out a better alternative for next time. And also, unfortunately for me, since there were so many people in the restaurant having a great time, which was great, it was pretty loud in there, which made it hard for me to hear conversations. You see, I normally wear hearing aids that really help with that situation, but my hearing aids were in the shop for repair, so I had kind of a hard time hearing conversations. But still, it was great meeting Michael Hayner and his wife and 2 daughters. They live in nearby Not That Paris, Paris, California. And Brother Sean of San Pedro and Sister Brittany were there with little Howie. Thanks, guys, for coming out. And if you'd like to see pictures from the meetup, I'll have them on today's show notes page and in the chapter art. The show notes page is at lifespringmedia.com/S13E198. And to see the chapter art, you'll need a Podcasting 2.0 podcast app. You do have one of those, right? If you're still using an old legacy app, get a better one at podcastapps.com or newpodcastapps.com. Both URLs go to the same place. Scott sent in a $10.98 donation, 1098, and he sent it in with this note. I think your lightning node needs attention again. I tried sending 10987 sats, 10,987, 10987. There's a reason he used that number. Tried sending 10987 sats twice, but got an error each time. It was supposed to include the following note. It's been too long since my last donation. Here's the start of a countdown in anticipation of a Starship launch this week. And he said, thank you for your courage. Well, thank you, Scott. I'm glad for the note for multiple reasons. First, I'm thankful for the donation, obviously. Thank you for that. And second, I appreciate the heads up about my node, my Bitcoin node here. Now, I tested it, and it looks like the node is fine, but there seems to be a problem with Fountain, because I was able to send boostagrams to my node successfully from the Breeze app and Castomatic. So, I once again sent an email to Oscar over at Fountain, and I hope he can get things sorted out, because I really do like the Fountain app. I'll have an alternative to the fountain app here in a moment. But my third reason for being thankful for the note is because I was not aware of the Starship launch. I looked it up, and according to space.com, this is the world's biggest rocket, 395 feet tall. Wow. As of the time I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon, it is scheduled to launch sometime today, Monday, April 17th, 2022. By the time you hear this, it might have already happened. I guess Elon Musk is saying there's a 50% chance of a successful launch since it's the first try with this rocket. I guess you could flip it around and say there's a 50% chance of it crashing. Anyway, SpaceX is doing some cool stuff. Thanks again, Scott. God bless you. And now for an alternative podcasting 2.0 app. There are several, and Podverse is another one that I do really like. It's available on iOS, on Android, F-Droid, and at podverse.fm. And for instructions on how to add funds to your Podverse wallet, you can go to lifespringmedia.com/podverse. Wednesday's show will be somewhat of a mile marker for us. It'll be episode number 200, and donations of $200 or more will earn a special episode 200 executive producer credit on Wednesday's show. You can donate right here.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
It's topics like we had today in my commentary that make me very thankful for the value for value model of support, beloved. Why? Well, because I don't have to worry about being canceled or deplatformed for talking about what the Bible teaches. I don't have to be concerned about advertisers pulling their ads. And I'm so thankful for the LifeSpring family who's been so supportive. I pray that God will bless you for donating to the LifeSpring One Year Bible. You definitely are participants in proclaiming the good news. May God bless you richly. Thanks to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Scott Snyder, Jason Pascal, who did today's show art, and Sister Brittany. These are the team. God bless you guys. And beloved, thank you for inviting me to be a part of your day today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
Boost.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.